Hey, everybody. Little Monsters Movie Podcast here.
Hey, group.
Dino and Ted.
What was that you said?
As you can see, we're going a little off topic, off horror here. We've done enough. We're going to throw in one of our one of our comedies we really like, A Shot in the Dark from the Pink Panther series.
Right. But it does tie into some horror. I'm going to throw three different kinds of smoke at you. Tie it in three different ways.
Yes.
When we get to it.
Yes, there is some horror connections here.
That's right.
But it's 1964, and
it's the second of the Pink Panther movies.
Yes. And it's Peter Sellers' slapstick comedy. I mean,
right. Well, I think you like this one's a little bit more like subtle, whereas after this, it became a little bit more slapstick.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think these movies are getting a little lost now because it's the storylines and stuff. I don't think people can appreciate the weight to the comedy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even I found myself, you know, because I've seen it before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're watching this for the first time, I can see, you know what I mean? I could see you sitting there the first 10 minutes and waiting.
Well, it's that song at the beginning. It goes
But
that sets up the movie.
And that's how the 60s were. The movies were like that. I mean, they had the storylines.
This movie is firmly embedded in the 60s.
Yes, totally 100%. And it takes place in, it's a French Inspector Clouseau.
I love it. It's one of my top five favorite comedies.
I love Peter Sellers. He's right up there with Jerry Lewis. I mean, take a look at Peter Sellers' stuff. He's got a lot of good stuff. I mean, Dr. Strangelove.
Different accents, Fu Manchu, and disguises. And, you know, it was always people who knew him, so it was kind of hard to get to know him because he was always, you know, kind of like the Andy Kaufman of the 60s, I guess. You know, you never really knew who Peter Sellers really was. And so this was the first Pink Panther movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before there was a Pink Panther cartoon. There was Pink Panther movies.
Right.
The Pink Panther cartoon came from the Pink Panther movies.
Yeah, because they kind of embedded the cartoons
beginning. Movies started off with a little, you know, Pink Panther. Except for Shot in the Dark does not have Pink Panther in the title or in the cartoon at the beginning.
Right.
The others do. The first Pink Panther movie is not the funniest. It's the Pink Panther is actually the name of a big diamond. And at the center of the diamond is a little flaw, if you remember, that looks like a leaping panther. And the first movie deals with an actor named David Niven, some of you may have heard of. He plays a very rich and sophisticated jewel thief called the Phantom, and he tries to steal the diamond. And Peter Sellers only has like a supporting role in that movie. He's not the main character. He's not in it as much as we'd like.
Yeah.
But character got very popular. People loved him as that character. And so when they decided to do Shot in the Dark, they made it. This is actually like a French play. It's based on a French play. I can't remember the name of it. But
the beginning of the movie kind of looks like that. You can see kind
especially
of a theatrical
the end too, the
scene
the big,
to it.
You know, when we get to the end of the film, the, you know, revealing of who did what is very much like a stage play.
Oh yeah.
And
very reminiscent of the old murder mysteries of the 30s,
40s. It's what it was. It was a whodunit.
Right.
It was not necessarily a comedy. And they were going to make that as a movie and have Peter Sellers be in it. He didn't like it. So they gave it to the guy who directed pretty much all of the Pink Panther movies, Blake Edwards. And he turned it into a Clouseau vehicle.
The Mel Brooks of the era.
Blake Edwards, and he's mostly known for these comedies, but he did like Breakfast at Tiffany's and stuff like that.
Yep.
And Shot in the Dark was the second in the series. Clouseau is the main character. We're introduced.
Well, should we tell them the horror connection?
Well, the first horror connection, the first smoke I'm throwing at you.
Is a really big one.
Is a screenplay by
William
Blake Edwards and
Peter Blatty,
who wrote The Exorcist.
Yep.
So there's your first smoke blown right at you.
Yeah.
William Peter Blatty was a screenwriter before he wrote that book. And he's written other books, but I don't know how many other horror books he's written besides Exorcist and Legion.
And the Exorcist book was the freaking scariest book I've ever read.
It's a fantastic book. Even when they made the movie, they said that they just used the book. They didn't
even
have,
way
like,
better
so
than the
script.
Movie. Yeah.
Well, there's just more. I mean, the
not
movie,
saying that the movie. I mean, the movie's
no,
great
yeah,
too.
The movie's
but,
very
I mean,
close to the book. There's just other things in the book that aren't in the movie.
Right.
Some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you watch the movie The Exorcist, you never really. in the second one they tell you, but in the first one, you just think it's the devil. That's what the character says. But then when you read the book, you realize it's really another demon called Pazuzu.
Yep.
And the reason that when he's possessing the girl and Pazuzu. Making her say she's the devil is because when they do that research to determine if it's an authentic exorcism, everybody's always, it's the devil, or they're always Napoleon. If you say it's the devil, they're not going to try to exorcise because they're going to think she's got something mental going on. If they said Pazuzu, that'd be something different.
Right.
And there was another part in the book where I know I'm going totally off topic here. We got plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she had a book, Reagan had taken a book from somebody and she had a section in it marked, like with a bookmark, about demons and exorcism stuff. And the priest found it under the bed.
Yeah.
To further like suggestion, like she had read it and then she got the idea that I'm possessed and that, to further debunk that she was actually truly possessed.
In the book. Yeah.
So those are some things, just some examples of things that were in the book. But
interesting that he wrote the screenplay.
Pink Panther.
Yeah.
And the beginning Blake of Edwards, the movie, I could see.
I like the beginning of the movie.
I do.
It's cool. But this is where a lot of people might just go, what the heck is going
on? But it does kind of set it up because you realize it's a big mansion, and the guy who owns it, he and his mistress, and the groundskeepers, the butlers,
second maids, groundskeepers, everybody.
Gardener. Yeah. They're all having affairs with each other.
Well, they show them all their rooms are lit up.
Right.
They're all in robes.
Playing an old.
They're all in robes, and they're all going to each other's rooms. Yeah,
some have flowers, some have wine, or little baskets with cheese and bread.
Yeah, and funny all, sec.
Yeah, they're all crisscrossing, going to different
rooms. Intersecting,
Right, and you realize that they're all having affairs with each other.
Yeah.
And you go in one room, the lights go off, and you hear some gunshots. And it takes about 5 minutes to get to all that while the song plays. But it's just setting the mood.
Yeah.
It's the 60s, and I think people had longer attention spans back then. And, unless you sat through Return of the King. But
no, definitely the movies back then, they were
just different. Just like even, even if you're a James Bond fan, I love Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah, same here. I was going to actually make the same reference to those movies.
Take the first three James Bond movies especially.
Yeah.
Dr. No and From Russia with Love and Goldfinger, firmly in the 60s. I mean,
yes, and great movies.
Right.
But again, there's the lulls even between the action to where he'll sit there and he'll talk for a good 5-10 minutes.
Yep.
And you got to sit through it, to get
to
it. No, I don't. But I can see where a lot of people, especially, the younger crowd and people who haven't experienced the 60s movies from the 60s are going to, just look at it and just probably bypass it, just starting it off and going, oh, forget
that.
Who knows?
I didn't really get into the Pink Panther series until I was probably in my 20s. My dad introduced me to them. I never really watched them. I just remember.
He introduced you to them?
Yeah, my dad's a big fan of Peter Sellers. And,
Yeah.
Me and the Pink Panther, they hung out.
Yeah.
Rode motorcycles.
We played poker on Sundays.
Yep.
Okay.
And you probably just remember, my buddy Chris was saying, I just remember being a kid and being pissed off that the Pink Panther wasn't actually in it. There's no Pink Panther in this.
Because I remember the same thing. Yeah. Right. Where's the cartoon?
After this film, Shot in the Dark, was very successful, made a ton of money. I think it only cost a couple mil to make, and it made the equivalent of $100 million or something like that. Very big money maker.
Right.
And then, from what I understand, Blake Edwards, the director and pretty much the mastermind behind the Pink Panther films, sounds like he and Peter Sellers did not always get along. It sounded like when it was good, it was like magic, but sometimes Peter Sellers was very difficult.
No, I was going to say, I can see where Peter Sellers had that ego.
And this is before he was huge. I mean, he's just his
There's
method
people
of
like
acting,
that.
And he was a little bit of a hypochondriac and
he had his
immature,
issues.
From what I understand. And
he's kind of like me. He's got
exactly cut from the same cloth.
So I can understand. But,
And for a while, they swore they would never work together again. But then once in a while, a good idea would come up, and they would want to do it again because.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a movie after this one called Inspector Clouseau with Alan Arkin, which I don't think I've ever even seen, where he plays Clouseau.
Really?
And it's not really connected to any of the others. Then Peter Sellers came back in 74 or something like that for Return of the Pink Panther. Mm-hmm. And all the rest, until he died in 1980, and then they made like that terrible one. What was that? Trail of the Pink Panther, where they just used like outtakes and, and footage from other movies to try to make another movie. And then
the final film that just blows.
And then there was the one that like really didn't even have him in it, but and his wife at that time.
I think the name of the movie was called This Ain't the Pink Panther.
Right. Yeah. That's a good name for the movie.
Yeah.
And then that Roberto Benigni played the son of Clouseau.
Right. I thought that wasn't too bad of a movie.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. And he's playing the offspring of Jacques Clouseau, and the main female person in this film, Elke Summers, Maria Gambrelli. And supposedly she had a baby.
Maria Gambrelli.
And that's their son. And he's inherited a lot of his father's traits. And then there's the Steve Martin ones, which they tried to bring it to a new audience. And I don't know if they were any good or not. Well, if you were to ask me, you know how I am. If you watch this podcast, I'm going to tell you right now without even watching it suck. But maybe they were funny. I don't know.
I watched the first one.
He probably tried to be Peter Sellers too much.
He did. That's exactly what happened. Steve Martin was trying his best to sound like him, and that's what blew it. I mean, Peter Sellers, that's, you know, Inspector Clouseau.
Right.
That's what made him Peter Sellers.
He created that character.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And what I think is funny is he's got a sort of forced. Let me explain. Jacques Clouseau. He is a detective.
Bumbling detective.
He takes himself very seriously.
Oh, he does.
But there are times when I think he realizes he don't know what the hell's going on. And that's when he'll do something like, what was that you just said? When he knows damn well no one said anything.
He's a klutz, but he covers himself. He covers it up by saying, I meant to do this. You know,
yeah, or something like that.
I just spoke Arabic. Anyways, go ahead.
He's got
French.
A weird French accent that the other French people in the movie seem to not even really know what he's saying.
Right.
And it gets more pronounced as the films go
on. Don't they say, what did you say?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like it bimp. You hit it like bump, the girl gets bump. A bump on her. Oh, you have a very nasty bimp.
Bump on the head. Yeah.
He's got his little gendarme mustache, and he's a terrible detective, but he ends up
That's what's great about it. He's a terrible detective.
But he was right in this movie. He was right that she didn't do it. All the evidence points that Elke Summers, who's very beautiful blonde in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. Elke Summers, for 1964, she was a very good, beautiful woman.
Yeah, man.
She
was some very
good.
Claudia Cardinale, Brigitte Bardot. I mean, if you guys haven't seen what these
Raquel Welch,
back in the day, way better, man.
Not even back in the day. I mean, you could talk now, but anyways,
I mean, you could just see where you know
right
where she is now. You can see where she came from.
Yeah,
geez. I mean, you could tell when she was younger she wasn't ugly. But I mean, go look at a picture of Brigitte Bardot, and I'll give that the Pepsi challenge to any of these broads out there today. Nothing.
Wow. Some Sports Illustrated swimsuit specials.
He's a klutz. He never has the right theories about anything, but he always ends up solving the case.
Always works
dumb
out.
Luck.
Dumb luck. Yeah.
Dumb luck, and it all just kind of happens. And then, like later on in the movies, he's like, you know, chief inspector, and he's heralded throughout the country. But then, when people actually start working with him, he's an idiot. So, I mean, that's how we said the gunshot goes off, and then it always goes into a little animated credits section. And then the film starts with Chief Inspector Dreyfus. Smoke number two is played by Herbert Lom. And if you like horror movies, he's been in Hammer's Phantom of the Opera. He's been in Mark of the Devil. If you like Harryhausen movies, he was in Mysterious Island, played Captain Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's smoke number two.
He played Little Nemo in Disney's Pixar.
Right, the little fish, that was Herbert Lom swimming around in a little costume.
Oh.
It was motion capture.
Sorry, I missed
you. You didn't see that movie? Finding Herbert?
He gets a call.
Gets a call.
From the millionaire.
Yeah, about the murder.
Yeah.
And then one of his guys comes in. And says, I've got terrible news. You know, I heard about the murder. And he's like, well, the murder's not the terrible news.
I didn't realize,
you know, who it was when we assigned the case. And already he's like, who did you assign to the case?
It's where you get the first glimpse of him flickering.
Yeah, throughout this movie, he's going to get this twitch. Herbert Lom gets this twitch after a while, and it carries over into like the next three movies that Herbert Lom is in.
Yeah,
because especially like in
he slowly turns into a
psychopath.
Yeah,
eventually in the series, he's going to go to an insane asylum.
Even at the end of this movie, he's trying to kill. Yeah,
but yeah, he starts getting a little. Every time he hears Clouseau's name, Clouseau. And they mention, you know, we put Clouseau on the case. You're like, oh, dear God. And then the car is pulling up to the mansion.
Yes.
And I love the car pulls right up next to a fountain. And it's in Europe. The driver's seats are on the other side. And it's
and they're little cars, tiny little clown cars. Yeah, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
He opens the door, and he just falls right into the water, the fountain. And he's just soaked and wet. And, of course,
his coat doesn't look that wet when he comes in the house.
It doesn't, no.
You can hear water just drip.
The hat's kind of really wet. But anyways, yeah.
And he starts coming in and questioning everyone. And like, oh, you're soaked. Oh, and it's just a little something. It's nothing. It will dry.
He's like questioning Dracula.
I know.
It's hard to get his accent.
It's Peter Sellers. He was a genius. And he's questioning the butler. And he's like, you know, who are you? And he's like, I am the head butler. And he's got an assistant with him, Hercule. And he's like, scratch that out and write head butler. When they go upstairs.
His helper.
When they go upstairs and there's the body laying there. And he takes his pen and he picks up the pistol. And he smells it. He's like, this pen has been fired recently. And he goes to give it to Hercule. And he goes to Greg. He's like, no.
He wouldn't let him have his pen.
This is my pistol pen. You'll get your own. Pistol pen. This pen has been fired recently.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile,
Elke Summers. What's her name?
Maria Gambrelli. Gambrelli, I can't remember which one.
Maria Gambrelli.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Is on the bed, looking in her robe.
And this is her, and he starts questioning her.
And the butler says,
"Oh yeah, he goes, she did it.
Yes, I came in here. Mm-hmm. I seen her.
How do you know she did it?
I came in.
He says,
seen
I
her.
Heard the shot. Oh, so you heard her? You
right?
Did not see, you heard the shot. And then the other guy goes, I came in shot. And she was holding the pistol,
and it was still smoking.
And he goes, was it still smoking?
Was it still smoking? And she goes, yes.
But I don't know how it got there.
Yeah. I mean, through the whole movie, she acts so innocent. And, well, you know. But anyways, you know.
The rest of the world is convinced she did it.
Yeah.
Well, but he's like, she is covering for somebody. She will not divulge his identity. He's going to question her. And he's just like instantly smitten with her as anyone would.
And he's sending people out of the rooms.
Yeah.
He wants to be alone with her.
He tells her, go look, don't look in here, go look outside. What's outside? There's no clues.
I mean, for
all the clues are right there. On the
for him wanting to be such a great, he wanted to get straight in at that.
Oh, I know.
Maria Gambrelli.
So yeah, she says that she, that he was her, he was her lover. And he was a Spaniard.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was ripping her dress. Oh, he raped you.
And she goes, no,
he was just very passionate.
She goes, the buttons were all over. I tried to pick them up, but he was so passionate. And he's just, like, looking at her like, immediately, you know, smitten because I guess that kind of got him going.
So he's sitting on the bed with her.
This woman's easy.
He's sitting on the bed with her trying to, you know.
He's very close to her. Yeah, he puts the pen in his mouth. He puts the pen in his mouth and he sucks the ink.
Or before that, remember he's walking around the room and he opens up a thing of cream. He's like, I suspect no one and I suspect everyone. And he smells it. He pulls it away and there's cream all over his nose.
He looks in the mirror.
He notices it. Everyone's already seen it and wipes it off. What was that you said? He's still got a hunk of it.
That's the kind of police inspector he is.
But that's makes him so funny. He's just so deadpan serious. And I mean, I'd have had a hard time working with him. I'd be laughing. Like, you know, he's doting on her.
Oh, I would love to work with somebody like this.
Remember the party? We should do the party sometime too. Another Blake Edwards Peter Sellers
movie. Yes, if you haven't seen that movie. Oh, my God.
It's all about him trying to get into a party that he mistakenly, I think, got an invitation for.
Right.
And he's getting kicked out.
He keeps acting.
Or he's an Indian actor. He's all tan and
yeah.
like an Indian.
Very much so. Yes, he's Indian. But, yeah, he does. That's the party's a good one. You got to check that out.
Actually, they were doing that movie when they made that Inspector Clouseau with Alan Arkin. They didn't want to be a part of that. They were making this other movie.
Right.
So MGM just went ahead and, or the Mirisch company, whatever, went ahead and made it anyway.
Darn Mirisch.
So, yeah. So Clouseau is, you know, he's a little smitten with Maria, and they're on the bed talking. And he's, she says she's got a bump. Hit her.
Well, she said she with the doorknob.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a very nasty bimp.
It's a very nasty bimp.
Bimp, you have a little concussion.
And he says it about 50 times. Bimp. He goes, the bimp.
And then they decide to smoke. Yes, let's have a smoke, and it'll help us clear our minds.
And he just starts sitting there having a smoke,
and he puts the lit lighter in his
puts it in there, and they're talking and talking, and smoke starts just coming up from the back of
his overcoat.
I'm wondering, don't you smell that already? Or
well, they say something was like, my jacket is smoking.
But it was a good minute or two while we're watching the smoke going up.
Rips it out the window.
Oh,
and then Chief Inspector Dreyfus arrives, opens a door, which knocks Clouseau completely out of like a third floor window,
flat on his face.
And he tells him that he's off the case because Chief Inspector Dreyfus doesn't want Clouseau anywhere near this very wealthy man and prestigious man. And
because he don't want to, you know, ruin, you know.
Oh, and I like when
the case.
Yeah, and I like, but I can't remember the wealthy man's name, Mr. Ballone or something like that.
Ballone. Yeah, something like that.
And who does not speak in a French accent at all.
No. I think he's British. He's like, he's like,
that's. And I like when he comes up there and he mentions that Clouseau's off the case. He's like, I rather liked him.
I rather liked him. Yeah. How does he rather like him? Because
he's an idiot.
Yeah,
he solved the case.
He was standing down there though in front of him with a wet hat. But we come to find out, you know, that there's a reason why he rather liked him.
Right. So Clouseau's off the case, and we are going to be introduced to the next big character in the Pink Panther series.
Kato.
And I got to tell you.
Get me whenever you
Kato can. Is played by Burt Kwok, who is awesome. And I've seen him in other things before. And yeah, I'm always just
Kato! I haven't seen him in a karate movie, but he's.
I know, it's always. But he's his manservant.
Yes.
I don't think he's paid. I don't think he just lives with Inspector Clouseau, you know, cleans the house and answers the phone. But he's got one other job, too, and that is to help Inspector Clouseau
become the best
martial artist
and fighter and have his reflexes cat-like.
Yes, and it's the rule is you must attack me at any time when I least expect. So Clouseau's sleeping.
He's sleeping. He peeks his head in.
And it's always, it's a running gag throughout all the movies.
It's great.
And they destroy his apartment.
He's got to have some good insurance. That's
there's
for
the
sure.
one, Return of the Pink Panther.
State Farm is there. No.
Clouseau comes home. He's going to put something in the fridge. Kato's hiding in the freaking refrigerator. Who knows how many hours he's been in there, but he's in the fridge.
That's what he'll do. He'll take and hide. He'll hide for hours just to creep up and attack him.
And then,
but that's his job.
And then in Pink Panther Strikes Again, he makes a point when he's looking for Kato in the house. He opens the fridge. Now that movie, they've got like bows and swords.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nunchucks.
Yes.
And there's like, you know, the high kicks.
Yeah, they're going at him big time in the other movie. This one's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, this one's not as hardcore as it, but
right.
They typically, but Kato does it like five times in the movie.
Well, he's sleeping on the bed too when he gets attacked, but he gets a phone call while they're fighting.
Right.
And it's Chief, you're back. Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah. He's got him around the neck and they pause and act normal.
And the phone call is telling
you're back on the
that
case.
He's back on the case. And we find out the next morning the reason that he's back on the case.
Well, I like that. As he's told that, though, he kicks Kato in the
– Oh, yeah, kicks him in the bread basket.
He gives him a couple of, you know –
chops. And that's Kato's job, to attack Clouseau when he least suspects it, to keep his reflexes razor sharp. And every time he does do it, it's always like, Kato, no, you idiot, not now. You know, like when he's with a woman or something like that. Kato, no.
But he thinks it's at any time, so and, it should be.
We find that it was a rich, someone very powerful and that, you know, convinced the higher-ups in the police and the gendarme to put Clouseau back on the case.
Right.
So Clouseau's explaining things, and he's doing his fect. And he's telling Hercule, his assistant, all about the facts. It's all about the facts. And he snaps, and he can't snap his fingers. And he's like, you know, he's going through all the things that are true.
You fect.
Fact. And, you know, we found the smoking gun in Maria Gabrielli's hand. Fact. And he's like, now what does that tell us? And the assistant's, you know, obviously, Maria Gabrielli killed him. No, you idiot. That's not right at all.
You fool.
I remember he's got his pointer stick. And he hits the chalkboard and it breaks. Look what you made me do. You made me break my pointer stick. Now I have nothing to point with.
That's another funny thing is all the things that break and rip and everything else. I mean,
now I have nothing to point with.
And what he sends him out of the office, right?
And they're talking a little bit first. And he's talking about what he's gonna do, and he's gonna, because Maria Gambrelli's in jail. She is in the prison, and she's going to be brought up for questioning. I don't think the prison's actually in the jail building where office building where Clouseau works. There's like a prison somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as a matter of fact, that is true. And she's going to be brought by police escort for questioning with Clouseau. And spinning the globe around, his classic thing where he spins the globe and puts his hand on Teresa's hand and gets it caught in there. Yeah. Stupid stuff like that. But yeah, he sends Hercule's going to go bring her up. And
he walks out of the office and it's empty.
Yeah, there's always something silly like that where
Hercule's
like behind him and Clouseau's sneaking out and he doesn't see him back there and gets stuck.
He turns around and he's gone.
Someone's watching me.
You know, and then he walks into he sees him out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
He opens the door real quick again and he's gone, like he disappeared.
Yeah, he is gone.
Just a very funny, I don't know, observation. And then he walks back in his office, closes the door, and he's just walking around, and he turns around. Well, he pretends to start
He's practicing speaking. What he's going to say. He's trying to be all cool. You know, should I pull the shade down? Where things should be on this to make him look really cool.
Because he's infatuated with Maria Gambrelli. Right.
And they bring her in, and he doesn't realize in. She's like, yeah, she walks right in.
She's sitting on the chair, and he turns around, and he goes,
And he's still practicing. Miss Gambrelli. Yes.
And she's sitting there, yeah.
Where were you?
The whole time he's trying to interrogate her, but he sits on the desk. He breaks the wood.
Oh, yeah.
The wood falls off. He picks it up and just. Oh,
remember the part before that? He did something with his cigarette case, and they all like he went to go lean forward. And they all went all over the place because then he asks her if she wants a smoke, and he's got nothing. He didn't have one of mine, and he makes a point with the lighter this cigarette time, to make sure it goes out before he puts it back in his. And he's destroying crap on his desk when he goes to sit down. And again, he's trying to get out of her who she's protecting.
Yeah.
And no one else. Because
he actually thinks something's right. He don't believe she did it, but he believes she's hiding, you know.
Yeah, like she's in cahoots with someone else and she's too afraid. Yeah. It's not that she's bad. She's just too afraid to reveal who this other person is.
She's afraid
for her life and she'd rather go to prison.
She's innocent. Until proven guilty.
Remember, she's talking about the prison, the conditions, the furniture. And she's saying, you know, I'd just rather sit on the floor than sit on the kind of chairs that they have there. And he calls the superintendent.
Yes.
When are you going to get some modern furniture down there? This is modern corrections. We should have modern furniture.
And he's trying to act very, you know.
Forceful, like he's got any authority.
Right.
And the guy pretty much tells him to stick it. He's like, well, I think you should consider it. Well, you too, you filthy
trying
swine.
Trying to show off to Maria Gambrelli. Yeah. And he brings out the cigarettes. And he's trying to get close to her.
Yeah, he's always sitting on that edge of the desk there. And then they end up, they release her. He orders for her to be released. He wants to follow her. And tried to.
While they're in the office, he's close to her and she rips his sleeve and everything else.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I mean, he starts
going. No, he went to go unlock some of his files.
He's like, you know, he's got his smoking.
Yes.
I find it very good to keep my important files locked away. You'll never know. And he goes to turn away and rip.
He rips his pants.
His boxer's hanging out. Oh, no.
Then he walks up to her.
And she does something, just like touches his suit. The whole,
and the whole sleeve comes on.
Stupid Taylor.
Bad tailoring job. Yeah.
And he's just sitting there.
He doesn't care. Yeah, and he comes in and he tells what, Hercule?
Yeah.
To release her.
Because we're going to follow her. We're going to see, you know, who she's protecting. And that's the whole thing of that.
But that's, what's he goes and he tries to follow her.
And then another little running gag we find is that Clouseau is also a master of disguise. And it gets more intricate as the films go on. In this one, he's standing outside the prison.
Did we get to that part? Oh, yeah. That comes up.
And he's the balloon salesman. And he's got fake disguise.
Every time throughout this movie, sorry to interrupt.
No, please, go ahead.
But every time during the whole movie, she gets released at least four
They put her back in jail because more people are going to die. Every time she's there.
Yeah, she's there every time somebody dies. And when they release her, he's always outside in a different disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the first scene is
he's a balloon salesman, I think.
He's got a bunch of big balloons.
And the cop comes up to him, do you have any lessons for those balloons? Now, I remember in one of the other Pink Panther movies, he's walking on the street. He's like been demoted. And the guy's got one of those little monkeys, you know, collecting money. And he's, do you have any lessons for that monkey? And then the French guy doesn't even understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he says
that monkey.
He says it like three or four times, and the guy don't know what the heck he's talking about.
So he gets arrested.
And every time he gets arrested throughout the whole movie,
it's like a paddy wagon.
Yeah, and you see the back of the police paddy wagon taking him away.
And each time there's like a little gag, like in this, the balloons are sticking out of the back of the car.
And you would think he would say, "I'm Inspector Clouseau." Doesn't he have his?
No, man.
But anyways, but that's what makes it funny.
Right.
I mean, you know.
So he ends up going on foot to the Ballone Mansion and follows Maria.
Gambrale.
She goes into the greenhouse.
Yes,
and there's a scream or whatever, and the gardener, I can't remember his name, he's lying there dead, and she's holding a pair of bloody like hedge clippers where the tips are all bloodied.
Dog chases him too, though.
Oh, yeah, dog chases him into there.
Blows his cover because the dog chases him and gets his foot, and he's like kicking it around.
So, you know, there it is. She's at the scene of a crime again. No one else is around. So, and she's like, and he's,
I think she's like going, I'm in love with you.
Yes.
Put your arms up there. No, but she's, then he notices the bloody, you know.
Right, so she's back in prison. She's back in jail.
And he releases her again because he says, I don't believe she did it. So,
and Dreyfus gets wind of that, and that's, I think, that twitch starts getting worse.
The twitch is getting worse and worse. And this time he's on the outside of the prison.
He's an artist, right?
He's an artist. He's got
like a street painter and a little cardboard.
Beard
and a neckerchief and glasses.
But he goes all out.
Yes.
He's got big, giant canvas paintings.
In one of the other movies, he plays
everywhere.
Like a hunchback. Everybody's got a hunchback.
But if that's real artwork, it's just, I mean, what did he hurry up and run to the store and say?
I have no idea.
I must borrow about 50 prints from you. Yes.
So, yeah, he gets arrested again into the paddy wagon, and you see all the paintings or whatever hanging up in the back.
Yep.
And it's just a little running gag throughout the whole film. And it's fun. I mean, that's the thing he does throughout all the films, especially Pink Panther Strikes Again, is the disguises. Like the hunchback one even fools Kato. You know, what have you done with the inspector? And it's, Kato, it's me.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So,
hey, Pat, you out there? Pat's watching. He's a horror movie review guy.
Oh, yeah?
So he's always... We're back and forth on stuff all the time.
Okay.
And we got something going in October. So he said he'd be watching the chat, wondering if the chat's working while we're doing it, because we're doing this live. The chat's off to the right-hand side. So whether anybody's actually seeing it and just not typing and chatting is, I don't know. Chatting with us. But he said he would chat. So maybe it's just not working. I don't know. I've never had the chat going.
We are the number one horror podcast but in the world.
He did say to say hi to you because he never talks to you.
I know.
He's always talking to me. But
this is the lair. He lives here. I just come over once a week. Yeah. So
I thought I'd throw that out there, too.
I'm surprised I'm not passing out after the day I had at work. So.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
But anyways, yeah.
Damn sick people. That job would be great if it wasn't for the patients.
Anyways, where do we go? We
back at the mansion.
The millionaire.
Clouseau wants to go and question some of the other people, like the wife. And Monsieur Ballon is shooting pool.
And he gets
his mistress comes in and they bicker back and forth a little bit.
And she leaves. Yeah.
And she leaves and nearly runs Clouseau in the driveway.
Yeah.
He tells Hercule, go follow her. Call me when you figure out where she's at.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Clouseau's ever played billiards before in his life.
Yeah, because he comes to the table and starts questioning.
The first thing he grabs is the bridge.
Yeah, and he goes to try to shoot the ball.
And it's going
The ball is underneath it. Yeah,
it's like, just going. You might want a regular cue. That's what we call the bridge. Oh, yes, it's a regular.
But this is
tried and true.
This is a very funny scene because of the fact that the whole time he's playing pool, you see him with the different sticks and stuff like that. And you eventually find him with the stick that curves totally upwards.
Which I think is a little W.C. Fields bit. Didn't W.C. Fields used to do that? I think there's...
Could be. I can't remember.
The pool shark. He
every time he goes and shoots it, you know, it's like...
I think that's the kind of pool stick that W.C. Fields would use. He used that curved one. Okay. So I think that's a little shout out to
W.C. Fields.
W.C. Fields, which is one of my favorites. And he completely like rips the felt. And
No. Well, that's the one with like this, and then he turns it around because he thinks he's smart. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm going to turn it around bent downwards, and he goes again, and he just tears the whole felt.
Oh, yeah, the ball flies off.
When it was up. But when he tears the felt, he's like, they just show him over there trying to put it back together.
And I mean, just a bumbling idiot. He basically kind of accuses him of being the murderer.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's got the murderer. And
I'm the what? The midi. Funny.
Oh, I got it. And then when he's going to leave, when Hercule calls him to, he's trailed, he's going to leave, and he goes to put the pool cue back, and then they all just start falling and breaking. You stupid thing.
That's so funny,
and
man.
He's, whoever made that should have his head examined. And then he goes to leave. He walks into the wall instead of out the door. And you should also have your architect investigate it.
Yeah, because nothing is his fault.
No. Well, can't be. Nothing's his fault.
Oh, my God. Then we get to the next part of the movie, which is
where he's
going to
get arrested again. He's disguised as a hunter on the property so that he can watch what everybody's doing.
Right.
A little bit, the bird craps on him. And the game warden. I mean, what's the game warden doing right on that property?
The game warden looks like Hercule,
but it's not. It's
all those French. I guess the French look alike. Anyways, the French, they all look the same.
So he gets arrested again, and I love how like the balloons hanging out at one time. They have the dead bird just hanging
out of the back of the paddy wagon.
Like, oh, they had a dead bird.
That's funny as heck. Oh my God. I love that.
Oh, you know what part I got to mention though? It was at the beginning of the film when we first meet Inspector Dreyfus.
I wonder if I know.
He's on the phone,
okay,
and he's saying, oh, I can't wait to see you, darling. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I'll bring the wine and cheese and the bread, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I love you too. And then he's like, I'll see you in 20 minutes. And he goes to hang up, and then another call comes in. It's like, Chief Inspector, it's your wife. And you're like, oh, tell her I'm out of town.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I guess, when you're in France, everybody's got affairs,
Well, yeah, the whole mansion was doing it. But anyways, I also like at the beginning, he's got a little cigar cutter. It's like a little
it's a guillotine. It's amazing.
Go for a lot of money nowadays. You have one of those.
Think?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
Pretty cool, though.
I don't think it's happened yet, but he's going to end up cutting his thumb off. Like he's later cutting in a cigar
movie.
When he hears Clouseau's name. And
later in the movie, yes, he does.
Can you get me a doctor? I just cut off my thumb.
Hilarious.
So
Oh.
They're following Maria again, and they trail her to a place called Camp Sunshine.
The Garden of Health and Happiness.
The garden. Oh, yeah.
And we come to find out, because this is a very... This is a funny part of the movie,
This is great.
And wonderful. It ends up being a nudist colony.
Right.
Okay, but he comes in.
And I love how they won't let him in. Like, you're not going in there dressed like that.
This is where, I mean, he just doesn't force himself as an inspector to see, you know. I mean, he could, but he doesn't for some reason. And these people force him to. But before that, I mean, he comes into the desk. Yeah. He asks if Maria Gambrelli has been here, and she goes, "Oh yes, here." He asked where she's at. Probably, he said, "You probably should check the recreation area."
The recreation.
I don't even know if this guy talks French. I don't know. There are all kinds of accents. Yeah,
he's
going
got
on.
like a Scottish accent. Yeah. I think she's in the recreation area.
Might be in the recreation area. Very much so. Yes, come now.
Yeah, he goes back to there. Some hippie playing the Chinese guitar. Yeah. And he's going to walk out there.
You got
and,
a Hispanic.
You're not going out there dressed like that.
But when he walks through, before he even gets in there, he looks at the guy and he goes, "Have you been swimming?"
Right, right.
And he goes, "Yes, how did you know?"
"It is my business.
It is my business to know."
And where it's probably where Seinfeld got it from.
Yeah, you know.
Shrinkage.
Shrinkage. But
have
then
you
he
been
walks
swimming.
Yeah, then he walks in there. Guy's playing the guitar. Yeah, like you said, and
tells
stuff,
him he's
and
gotta
he's
take
got
his clothes
to
off.
Take his clothes off. He goes, "Why?" And he asks him why. He says, "It's a nudist colony."
Nudist colony.
But
yeah, he's always nudist.
but he takes his clothes off,
and he's covering up his junk with the guitar. And then later, he like picks up a.
He finds
his backside. He's picking up like a floaty from the pool.
He finds everything that he can, to cover himself up.
Right.
The floaty and everything.
And he's working his way through all the, the news, kind of trying to, fit in. And he ends up seeing Elkie Summer kind of whispering to him, in the hedges,
Inspector.
Kind of like in a clearing.
Inspector, yeah.
And it turns out.
That's my Elkie Summer impression.
It was pretty good. I liked it.
Inspector,
I thought she was right there.
He said, "Ugh, it's you."
And one of the maids from the house.
I couldn't be nude. I'd sit right on my okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
one of the maids
from
the house is laying,
hunched
all
over.
Hunched over, and she's dead. I think she'd been choked.
A little bit of horror going on now.
Yeah,
right?
See,
yeah, a lot of murder going
on
here.
Choked, people getting stabbed with hedge clippers. We picked the right one.
Inspector Cusa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they can't really do anything about it because they're naked.
Oh, and I love when he comes around the bushes and he looks right down at her breasts.
Yes.
And
you don't see him, but he
ends up falling over. I mean, he's just like,
"Oh my God." Yeah, he's just like, she's talking.
Yeah, he passes out from, I guess,
sight
of her breast.
Man, he's a hairy man, though.
Oh, I was going to,
Sellers,
good thing you pointed that out. Peter Sellers has got a lot of hair on his shoulders.
You wouldn't see
that. And back. And he's, is he French in real life?
No, he's British.
That's right. He's British.
Long history. Oh, and then you remember when the cops.
He played so many roles. So,
Inspector Dreyfus is following. He got wind of where he's going. He's going there too. And don't you love when the cops come in and they got their clothes on, their uniforms? Everyone who's naked is, you're standing there naked in front of all these other people. But it's the only clothes comes on.
Well, they think they're being busted for something.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if
I just thought they were being stupid. Like, oh. Clothes on and I'm naked.
Our nudist colonies. I would think they're illegal.
The closest I ever got was when I went to Vegas, at Caesar's Palace, there was a section for European sunbathing.
Really?
Yeah, but I was there.
I've never even been on a nude beach.
Well, that was the closest I
let alone.
Well, no, I take that back. When I went on my honeymoon in Riviera Maya near Cancun, the resort that we were at, you were allowed to. Women were allowed to sunbathe topless, and there was always the same lady every day, and she was kind of old and too tanned and wrinkly, and it wasn't until the last day of our honeymoon that like a hot chick did it.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sitting there reading Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix and just looking over while my wife is sunbathing, and all right.
All right.
Not so bad.
Giggity, giggity.
Giggity, giggity. All right. Oh, we forgot that little bit when Clouseau first pulls up and knocks some guy on a bike, knocking him into the water.
What?
Remember they knocked that guy, that bicyclist, into the water on the way in? And then the same guy, I think they knock him into the water on the way back.
Yeah, because they do get in their vehicle and escape the nudist colony.
Because the road's this big.
Before the
before they're discovered by the police.
Yeah.
And they escape in his car. They're completely naked.
And they're trying to get home to his apartment.
Right. He's like, I will get to my apartment and figure some way to get us inside. And everything that can go wrong goes wrong.
Of course.
Traffic jams.
And they're all looking at him. And,
oh,
and
just, I'm going to scream.
Yeah, the cops there. All the cars are there. And the next thing you know.
Yep, they get arrested. But in this time, all the cops are like standing on the back of the paddy wagon looking in the window.
Because I'm Maria Campanarios.
Yeah, man. Dude. Who wouldn't want to see Elvis?
Yeah.
I guess I should just throw my third smoke out there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Peter Sellers was married 4 times.
No way.
Way.
Oh.
And he was married.
Garth.
He was married to Britt Eklund from
our
dancing naked chick from The Wicker Man. He was married to that and blew it. A Bond girl.
Ted.
But evidently he was very...
He's one of those guys
who... He was abusive and jealous, and it didn't last long, man. She left his ass.
Well, it was like you said, he was a troubled man.
He said,
he was a troubled man.
He had several heart attacks, hypochondriac. Several? Yes, he did. He had several heart attacks.
He died
of a heart attack. But,
so he had high blood pressure.
Probably.
Probably sugar, probably.
I don't think he was diabetic. I didn't
you think he had varicose veins. Hemorrhoids,
bad breath.
He had to pluck out his eyelashes because they were just a little bit too large and long. But
just,
anyways.
Just sad, man. He was just sad, man.
That's a shame.
Which is the way a lot of these comedians end up. I mean, who would have thought, Ronnie Dangerfield was sad or...
Robin Williams.
Who would have thought that? Hell, even Iron Maiden's got a song about him on their new record. About Robin Williams.
Man. Iron Maiden, new record out there, huh?
Well, yeah.
Ted's big into heavy metal. You would like Death Twitch on here. He's horror and heavy metal. Eric from Death Twitch. But anyways, we got a
Dreyfuss
tangent of him being so depressed and abusive.
Yeah.
And
well, it seems
some people just are like
comedians are though.
Yeah,
are very self-deprecating, and
I mean,
like if I make fun of myself, you can't make fun of me. So,
and then they go home.
I mean, look at all Ronnie Dangerfield's jokes. I mean,
oh
they're all
God,
ripping on himself.
Great movie,
but go figure, man. Yeah. The guy was, the depressed dude.
Yep.
But anyway, back to our movie. Clouseau gets arrested, and he just basically gets bumped down. He says, "I'm sending you to another facility. You're just going to work in an office, and you're out." You're off the case.
He tells him he's off the case again.
And he's at home packing. Cato is, packing his bag for him. I think they might tussle a little bit in this part. And he gets a phone call. He's back on the case. That dude's pulling strings again. They want Clouseau back on the case because he's an idiot and he's not going to solve it.
Yeah, they were fighting before the phone call.
I love that. I mean, and they just get more wild as the movies go on. I mean,
oh my God!
Like I said, the Pink Panther movies get more slapsticky as they go on.
The one I think it's in Strike, but where they demolish the complete apartment, the bed,
I think they blow it up.
They fall through the floor to the apartment below them, and I mean it's just crazy.
Yeah, they've got all the martial arts weapons, the bows, and he's in his robe, and I just remember that he's got like his chain necklace and. I just remember them coming out like feet first. Like, oh! like that. Oh. And then Cato, he just got his butt whooped. And he's got to go and unpack everything.
And he's holding his neck.
Well, because I think Jacques's going to go take a shower. And he gets that idea, I'm going to go in there and attack him again. I think he attacks him in the bathtub.
Yes, he jumps in.
Yep, jumps in the bathtub.
They don't show it, but you hear him in there going, Cato! Jump on him.
So then we get to a scene where Chief Inspector Dreyfuss is he's at a shrink.
Yeah,
he
needs to talk to a psychiatrist.
Clouseau, I'm going mad.
This guy's driving me crazy.
I haven't eaten in 3 days. I haven't slept. I'm cracking up.
I mean, it's
cracking up.
It's funny how the guy he's driving him
he's
crazy.
An idiot. and he can't do anything about it because
because they keep putting him back on the case.
Someone higher up than him is telling him you have to put him back on the case. And he's a bungler.
Oh, man. It's too good.
So there's that little part. And that sets up, like, the next – well, her, Alan Arkin did the next one, and it doesn't tie into any of the others.
Yeah.
But the two after that – actually, even the three after that all have Herbert Baum in them. And so they all tie in with that. He just goes – drives him nuts. I even like in Pink Panther Strikes Again when he goes to get Chief Inspector Dreyfus out of the asylum, bring him home.
Right.
And completely, like yes. – you know, remember he knocks him in the lake? And he gets him out. And he
gets him out. And it totally demolishes him when he's as soon as he gets him out.
He's sitting on like Dreyfus is on his belly, laying on the ground. Clouseau gets behind him, almost like he's getting him up the butt. And he's like, "Out with the bad air, in with the good.
Out with the bad air."
Get the water out of him. He's gyrating on him, and this old lady walks by and just whacks him in the head with the first because being filthy.
You dirty, filthy pigs, you. We are not being filthy, you filthy pig.
Out with the bad air, in with the good.
Yeah, he just he tortures this guy, man.
But you know, he doesn't mean to do it. He's just an
no,
idiot.
I know. He's... But you think he'd freaking leave the force and get the heck out of there.
And he took over Dreyfus's job while he was... right. You know, I am Chief Inspector now that you're crazy.
He calls him crazy.
I just know that he's the Chief Inspector. But he's in the crazy house.
And immediately starts blinking again. I mean, it just brings him right back to, oh my God, yep. I'm here again. So that takes us back to... He's got Elke.
He's on a date.
Well, Maria Gambrelli and Inspector Clouseau.
They're going out on the town.
Yeah, they're
all
eating.
Kinds
they're
of different,
dining.
Like, ethnic-themed restaurants and clubs.
Yeah. And they end up at one. It's like a gypsy, French gypsy
yeah,
type
Spanish,
thing.
Yeah, there's a Spanish. Well, I got to say, like,
Spaniard.
The first one is like a
food,
Spaniard.
The Spaniard.
And at each place, someone, a man dressed in black.
Yes.
You see him from, like, you know, here down, is trying to kill Clouseau.
Right. From this point forward in the movie, non-stop, everywhere he goes, somebody else ends up dying a second before he was supposed to die.
Right, like, you know, like the guy's going to shoot, and you know, he happens to, like,
bend
over, and the gun
and
goes off, someone else gets shot, or someone throws a knife, and someone stands up at that exact moment, gets stabbed.
And I like how they're...
It's just dumb luck.
Like how they're at the Spanish restaurant, and there's some, like, tap dancing Spanish thing going on.
Flamenco.
Oh, you ballroom dance, do you?
In my spare time.
Oh, anyway, that's going on, and the guy's got the gun coming out. Okay, so we got to that party.
Right.
The gun misses, shoots their glasses, and hits the person next to him. And they don't even notice it.
Yeah, they're like, ha, 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 ha.
But then the next thing
the guy's
is
dead.
They want to bring him out to dance.
Well, they go to like a Hawaiian place.
Well, they want him to dance here too.
Yeah, well, they go to a Hawaiian place, and I think that's the knife.
The
one.
Knife.
And then they go to, it's a Russian, I believe.
Okay.
Where they're doing the dancing and
oh, is that a different restaurant?
Yeah, yeah. They
oh,
go to
okay.
like three
That's
different
right.
restaurants.
Okay,
this
okay.
is like a Russian one, and the guy's doing his, you know, not the
confused. Yeah, that's
and every time he does it, you know, hey, he takes a big drink of vodka.
So they okay, yeah, and then
so they bring
Elke
out
in.
To do it.
She does it.
And she does it. Takes a little drink,
and in the background, you could see the drink for the next dancer is poison dropping.
And the gloved hand just drops a little capsule or a pill in there. Because they see that he's already come to Clouseau. The guy's got Clouseau, and they're getting a drink ready, and he drops it in there.
And he pulls him out next.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, like, he's going to do this.
He's all serious. Like,
And he, as soon as he squats down, you hear the rip of the pants.
Oh, yeah, just ripped his pants wide. But I love how he's going to be all serious. And I was like, at first he doesn't want to go, and he's like...
He's going to do it. Like Arthur Fonzarelli in Happy Days.
Oh, exactly. Whoa. Like in that Weezer video.
Oh, my God.
Ooh,
needless
to... I hate that song. I hate Weezer.
Yeah, it's not too good. But anyways, the other Russian dancer drinks it, and he dies.
Right. Immediately. Like,
and even as he goes out of the restaurant into the car, he closes the door, and the
Yeah, what is it? What is
it? Whoever the guy that lets the people into
what
the
is it,
car.
A poison dart or something, I think? Or
yeah.
Is it a poison dart?
Out and he goes, and it hits him.
And it gets the guy who's closing the door for him, the valet or whatever. I mean, like, what is it, four people?
Yeah, in a span of like that.
In that evening. And so Dreyfus is looking at the paper the next morning, And it says, you know, four people die trying to kill, you know, Inspector Clouseau.
And he's going mad.
Clouseau and Elkie Summer end up at his apartment. You know, they're all a little tipsy.
Yes.
You're trying to take me into your apartment. Yes, this is my apartment.
Come on in. Lay down.
And, you know, he gets her in his bed. And he's getting so excited, man. He's trying. Oh. Like he's going to, you know, finish the job before he even gets all his clothes. And the doorbell starts ringing.
Oh.
The doorbell rings, and you see the gloved hand leaving a package, and
it's a bomb.
Yeah, he opens it up. It's just a clock, and he's looking at looking at the package. What is this? And he goes back, and then Kato's gonna do his thing. It's Kato's job, man. When something's going, when he least suspects it, every time he goes to leap on him, Asa! Kato, no, Kato.
Oh, man.
My dad, maybe I mentioned this on another podcast, I don't know, but we used to have an answer machine with tape. And
yeah,
he did a Clouseau a bit, and my dad can do it really well.
Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, he's like, hello, this is Inspector Clouseau. and he even had this thing like where all the, one of those, I think it was like a hammer, toy hammer that when you did it sound like glass breaking?
Right. Yeah.
And it was something like, no, Kato, do not touch. And you're the glass.
Back in the day when
please you could actually leave a message at the beep.
Those are good old days when you used to be able to leave a message on your machine.
Oh, I remember on my answer machine.
Now it's voicemail. We could still do it, but it goes directly to whatever.
When I had my answer machine, I remember I had the beginning of House on Haunted Hill, Vincent Price.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're invited to a party. Yeah. There might be a few murders.
Ted would, when I'd call him up, I'd sit there and because of the messages you would leave, they would be like, some of them were like 2 minutes
remember
long.
I did the end of Planet of the Apes with Cornelius reading from the Sacred Scroll. Beware the beast man, for he is the devil. And I put the whole part on there.
I love listening to it, but I can see how somebody else is calling and going,
beware the beast man, for he is the
is
devil.
Is this ever going to stop?
He will murder his brother to own his brother's land. And whatever he says at the end of that, the whole thing was on there.
Hilarious. It was good.
And I remember like my mama called, I hate it. Change it.
Hey, I can't get through to you ever. You don't ever let me get to you. Stop doing this so long. What are you doing?
That was so great.
It drove me crazy.
I put like a little part from Flash Gordon. It was just like, for God's sake, strap yourselves down. That was it. That was my, no leave a message. No who this is.
Just quotes from movies.
Beware play a whole the beast, scene. Man.
Oh, that was great. Oh, so where are we in the movie?
Oh, Jesus. The bomb goes off.
Yeah.
Blows the apartment up, right?
Yeah. Okay, but isn't this where we're getting he gets called back to the mansion?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't this where he gets everybody together?
Are we that point already?
I think so.
Oh, my back.
Yeah, he's outside
with Hercule.
Yeah, Hercule.
Oh, yeah, they're going to synchronize their watches.
And this is funny, too. Yeah, they're going
to. He wants to go in there. He asked for everybody to meet him. And he's going.
He's got
a plan. He knows who the killer is, and he's.
And this is where we get to the basic 1940s murder mystery where they're all kind of like in one room, and he's accusing everybody
right
of the murder,
and Hercule's going to turn the lights off, the power off at a certain time. When the lights go off, then obviously the real murderer is going to escape, and that's how we'll know who the real murderer was.
Yes,
that's his plan.
And the funny part, there's so many things that go wrong in this.
Right.
Thing.
I mean,
they try to
stepping on people, falling over tables and chairs. It takes 5 minutes for them to get their watches synchronized. That's kind of funny.
Well, and when he's in there, they all start talking about their time on their clocks, their watches and clocks and stuff. And she's like going, he's like, it's 8:54, whatever it is.
He's like, this watch hasn't lost a second since you gave it to me, darling. I didn't buy that for you. Oh, oops.
And she goes, mine's 8:52, 3 minutes less. Then somebody else says, theirs is 9:55.
Right.
It's just, they're all off by like 2 or 3 minutes. And meanwhile, Inspector Clouseau is trying to, solve this murder.
Well, right,
but they're all just going back and forth worried about their times and class. And then
Hercule ends up calling him because they're supposed to do it at a certain time. He says, my watch stopped.
He calls him his watch. Counts. And he's down in the basement.
Right, to turn the power off.
And he tells him to start counting.
Yeah, just count seconds.
And they show him a little later, 2,100
or whatever to get to 5 minutes.
No, he said 2,000 something. I mean, I don't know what. Yeah, I think he was just way up in because he basically
my watch stopped.
Basically, it was four minutes later, and it would have been the top of the hour.
Like 5 minutes,
but something. It's what was funny.
And then right before the lights go off, everyone starts arguing. You know,
well, he's
coming because you are having an affair, and then that's how he starts. Everyone's like,
"Well, I love the scene through the scenes what he does." I mean, he's sitting on the couch. This is where he
falls off the couch
because it's one of those cushion couches. He grabs his knee and he's wobbling back, and he falls backwards, and he stands right back up like, you know, oh, I meant for
what
that.
What was that you said?
What was that you said? And like it was meant to happen. And he goes over to somebody, and as he does that, he picks something up. Maybe something dropped, he knocks the big table over,
right,
and knocks
like
into
the coffee table.
The butler guy. I saw everything.
Steps on the lady's foot.
Bunch of clumsy stuff going on,
which is funny in itself. It probably doesn't sound as funny when we're talking about it, but when you're watching Peter Sellers do it,
right,
it is
very funny.
He is just gold as this character.
He's like Jerry Lewis kind of thing going on. I mean, the slapstick.
I put him up there. I mean, Jerry Lewis.
I mean, Jerry Lewis
great
is
stuff too.
Jerry Lewis is way better, but it's the same type of slapstick kind of. You know, he can pull off doing. Oh my God, the bellboy does. They don't say a single word in the whole movie, and it's.
The only one, you know, like one of his most popular ones is Nutty Professor, and it's probably like the one I like the least.
Well, right, no, yeah.
But, you know, I just remember like, you know, watching it, and then you realize where Professor Frink on The Simpsons, where he got his voice. They totally stole that from Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
If you kids didn't know that, watch The Nutty Professor. Not the one with Eddie Murphy in it.
No, please don't. Oh, yeah,
Jerry freaking Lewis.
And, yeah, I mean, hey.
And like I said, it's a
away
funny from, movie. It's just it's least, probably like the least funny,
right? But still,
the ones
right.
That he wrote and directed.
Because and he wanted to show a suave, sophisticated side to himself too.
Right.
You know where he wasn't. You know because later in his career, I think he got sick and tired of being Dean Martin's sidekick and all mm-hmm. this. But man, that's what made him. But you know, people.
But he wrote. He directed.
Oh,
I mean,
my God,
you know,
Jerry.
There's
Lewis
a handful of
great.
Artists out there that did that. And
they have old-time radio shows, too, that I mean, still mm-hmm. from the 40s, you know, when they used to play all the stuff on the radio and you tune in on a, you know, Saturday night or something like that and listen to the show. And those are all just great.
Yes. You recorded a bunch for me. I love the Mel Blanc show.
Oh, the Mel Blanc show.
I still
have
those. Which I think are before
great.
He did the Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, you saw like
he had the Porky Pig character.
Mm-hmm. But it was a different character. It wasn't Porky Pig. It was
right. He called. I forget who. What did he call him? But anyways, yeah. So it's,
there's the Space Patrol. I think
Mel Blanks did a ton of old time radio shows.
Yeah.
He was on the Jack Benny Show, mm-hmm. recurring character all the time. I know we're going off tangent here with old time radio shows,
like.
but it's he was on just about every you name it. Fibber McGee, Molly.
The only one out there knows what
you know. Mel Blanc's voice. Immediately from, you know, Porky Pig, Bugs Bunny. I mean, you know, it's so distinguishable. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Listen to some of the old-time radio shows. Get them. Mel Blanc Show, Jack Benny Show.
You still had some on iTunes,
great.
Right? Didn't we post a bunch of them, or you posted a bunch of them?
I was at the beginning when we started this out. I put some horror stuff up there and all that, but,
some good ones. Boris Karloff, Vincent Price.
Yeah. But only on the iTunes. I mean, I didn't put it up on YouTube.
But you could probably find YouTube ones, old-time radio shows.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
they're
great.
Out
like
there
this time of year
man.
When the fall is coming on.
Listen to
put
an
on a
old,
spooky old show with Basil Rathbone or Vincent Price or any of those guys.
Inner Sanctum. Mm-hmm. There's too many to
just
to
put
mention.
Them on and just listen at night. And
I could go on a whole podcast on horror old-time radio shows. I should do that one day by myself. Maybe,
right. Because, I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, how many radio shows were there? Just,
that's the, you know, there weren't movies. There were.
And, you know, it was all regional, you know. I mean, you lived in the big cities, you got some of the bigger name shows, but, you know, you lived out somewhere else, you know, you got different shows. People did different things.
And all your big stars did it, like Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff. Boris Karloff was a big one. He did a lot.
He did a lot.
Even Vincent Price at the beginning of his career
did a lot
of old-time radio shows.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, which was very, very cool.
I've got some
cool.
with Peter Cushing. Guys, I'm a big fan of his. He did some. I've got, and his voice is great on those. And then they even do some more modern ones. Like I have
the British did them up in 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. even still. I mean, you could find old time radio shows right. still being broadcasted in the 60s and 70s in the UK.
Right. And they even tried to bring it back a bit. There's a
the Twilight Zone that they did.
Right. There was they even did all three of the original Star Wars movies as radio broadcasts. And the original Star Wars.
Lord of the Ring.
They did Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
I have those.
Not Lord
but
of the
Rings. But the Star Wars one, they're all expanded. That's what's cool about them.
Yeah.
All the stories are expanded. So, like, the original Star Wars radio drama is like, whereas the movie's 2 hours long,
yeah.
the radio drama is like 6 or 8 hours long. And it's got, you know, Mark Hamill. Not all the same actors do their voices, but Mark right. Hamill does them. Anthony Daniels.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Yeah, the real effects and everything. I mean,
yeah.
And stuff that's in there that, you know, wasn't even in the scripts or anything. They just, you know,
yeah.
fleshed out the story big time.
Mm-hmm.
I even have, I don't know if you have them, I have Stephen King's The Mist as a radio drama. I have.
I think you gave me that.
Did I?
I think
I have
you did.
Pet Sematary as a radio drama. A lot of H.P. Lovecraft stories.
Yeah.
I have as radio dramas as well. And they're just cool. They're
they
really,
are. You turn all the lights out, man. You put them on your, you know, headphones.
Yeah, just let your imagination.
Yeah, you listen. It. You put the theater in your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
And I was listening to The Mist one before there was ever a movie. You know, I listened to that, so.
Yeah.
And the Pet Sematary one, listen to that at night. If you can come across that, maybe your library has it. You might even still be able to buy it. That'll get you.
Oh yeah,
Pet Sematary
one. Yeah, scary, spooky.
So cool stuff, especially when it's coming up to Halloween time.
Oh yeah, and then we're gonna get into the hardcore movies here. Anyways, where are we at? And
this is a hardcore movie.
Yeah, lots of murders.
We're getting towards the tail end of the film.
We are.
Yeah,
Pink Panther's got a tail.
Yeah, the tail end of the film.
See, I okay, chose anyways, my words
carefully there. I think we were saying that, you know, he's accusing everybody. Everyone starts doing some infighting and, oh, you know, so-and-so killed so-and-so because you, you know, you found out you were having an affair with him. And it's all coming out who's been buggering who.
And he's just kind of inspecting.
And finally, Monsieur Ballone, he comes out and says, you know, you know, I did it or whatever because
blamed himself.
Well, his wife is the one who shot the Spaniard because she expected to find her husband in the room with Maria.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the room. He was hiding in the closet. So he snuck out of the closet, knocked Maria out, put the gun in her hand to protect. He was going to blame it on her, protect himself. He was trying to protect his wife to protect her from it.
Yeah.
While that's going on the inside, we see that.
Oh, no, I'm listening. Go.
A dark cloaked figure with a bomb putting it inside under the hood of Clouseau's car.
Ah, I wanted to say that.
Oh, okay. Well, then tell him who it is.
Oh, and then
it pans up and we see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the funny part. Yeah, the, he puts it under the hood of the car. Just said it.
Yeah.
And it's a bomb, you know.
Did he put it under the hood of the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's his name again?
Chief Inspector Dreyfus.
Chief Inspector Dreyfus.
Is the one who's been trying to assassinate Clouseau the whole yeah. second half of the movie.
So we find, yeah.
You couldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, but he blew up the car of seven, whoever, all those
people. Well, yeah, because the lights go out, and then
he
the scene
blew
is,
up
we see
everybody
everyone in the
him.
House running out because they were all, like we who, one of the one of them killed the guy in the, what do you call it, the greenhouse. One of them killed. One
they
of them
all killed each
because
other.
Because of the affairs.
Right. So it was just a bunch of people killing each other.
Right.
And so they all ran out, got into the car, and instead of Inspector Clouseau getting in it and getting blown up and dying,
all
these
them.
People did.
And, all of them except for Elkie Summer.
Well, yeah.
All of them get in the car. It's like seven people.
Yeah,
and yeah, they drive
like
away
a bunch
a little
of clowns
bit.
Getting into a and, tiny little vehicle.
Dreyfus, you know, Clouseau comes out, you know, stop and Dreyfus is there. He's like, Clouseau, get them, stop them, stop them. And we see the car blow up kind of off screen. And I like how you know he realizes it was Chief Inspector who's trying, you know,
right.
he said he was yeah. trying to kill you, and he like he's karate chopping oh. him.
Yeah, and my hands are
lethal weapon.
Lethal weapon.
I could have gotten you with a karate chop.
Chop. And he's going after him, and he's missing every time.
I mean, right. Yeah, he's not even really hitting
him. He thinks he's a ninth degree black belt, but yet he's a white belt.
Cato. Cato's getting one last in. He jumps at Clouseau and Elkie Summer, knocks them all in the fountain. You know, I saw it! And that's pretty much the end of the movie. I mean, it sometimes it's kind of hard to do the podcast on the comedies, I guess, if you guys can't see it. But we love it, and we get a kick because it's playing on the screen here while we're talking, and I just remember things and see things, and I get a kick out of it.
Peter Sellers is great. If you like
and maybe it's just more for us just to talk about.
Give the 60. Yeah, I mean,
we love them, so it's like, if we want to talk about a W.C. Fields movie, it's more for us than you. Sorry.
Hey, every now and then we're going to do something other than horror. You know, we've got tons of movies. Sorry, I've been sitting down too long in this chair, man.
Woo!
Got a maneuver and
so it's reposition. Getting up on Halloween. We got we want to do like maybe one movie from each of the big franchises.
Yeah. I think we're going to do.
Did we say? I think we're going to do Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. My idea is to kind of pick the bastard stepchildren out of all the titles.
Yeah,
that's what I like to do.
Yeah, so we're picking probably one of the worst of the.
Yeah, like the worst out of all of them, and maybe try to make Halloween 3.
Bride
of Chucky, something like that.
Hey,
whatever you guys think the worst Jason movie is. I
let us know which one you. I think we know. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I've watched them all many times.
It's right.
Out of all the big horror franchises, Jason's my least favorite.
I agree with you too.
Maybe just because he's not funny. Freddy's a little funny. Chucky's a little funny. Pinhead's got a comment once or twice. And Michael Myers, I mean, that's just, I don't know. Maybe because that's just, I don't know why. I like the Michael Myers movies for some reason.
No, I do too. We'll get into that. I mean, it's just
I can't really explain. I don't know much about it, but I like what I like.
Exactly. But we're going to do probably Freddy 2 because it's
I think we can have some fun.
We can have some fun with that movie. So that's why we're going to pick that. If we pick the best one, it's like, we're not going to diss it as much.
Yeah.
And I think we like having fun with some of these horror movies.
Everybody does. Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. It's like, let's do the ones that people don't like so much.
Exactly. That's what we plan on doing. So, that's what we'll do.
Right.
So that's another one in the books. It's
how many podcasts have we done so far?
I'm going to have to check. I'm not sure. I mean, we've been doing this.
We've done like 30 or something.
I don't know. It's only been a few months, right?
Did we start like in March or February?
Who knows? I'm going to go back and see how many we got. But anyways, hey, subscribe to us on YouTube. Okay. So, we got to get our subscribers up. We're doing great,
And send us muffins. We'll eat them.
We're on iTunes.
On the show.
iTunes, too. Look us up there. We're on Vimeo. We're on SoundCloud.
Is there anything we're not on?
We're on everything.
We're on everything.
We're even on WGN and HBO.
Are we on MySpace?
We got the... MySpace is for musicians.
Is it now?
I think so.
I don't know. Yeah. I had a Facebook account. I've deleted it. He told me to get one for the show. I've never been on Facebook before. I get it.
He gets on here.
I friend a couple people, and the next thing I know, I got all this stuff on here. I don't know what to do with this. What am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to read it all? Am I supposed to respond? Do I have to like it all? So I told my wife, because I don't even know how to set it up. I was like, just get rid of it.
He's off of it now. I'm the one doing it all.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll go and I'll read the page, but I mean, I'll just.
He comes and does a podcast. He goes home and he takes the dump.
That's it.
That's about it. So,
I do a lot of research for these movies.
No. Hey, I've said plenty of times, you're the info man. I'm the whatever. I have fun with it, man. So I'm glad that you can pick up on all the.
I'm not a social media dude. I'm not a social dude. I talk to you, and that's about it. I talk to him more than I talk to my wife. I talk to you more in the 2 hours that I'm here than I talk to my wife all week.
That's a shame.
It's okay. We do all right.
You stopped the beating, though, right?
Well, I mean, she just needs to understand that yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to every question.
She hasn't learned that yet, right?
No. So, I got to put the leeches on her when I get home.
You got that done with the – I ain't going to say that. Forget it. But I mean, you got to
– I'm working on that.
Put her to work. I mean, you got to have her scrub the floors, get the
yeah, you know, I mean,
get the woodwork polished up. Last time I was there, it wasn't as shiny as last time I was there.
Oh, so, and, you know, I noticed that too, and I told her.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I go, no,
that's what that beeswax is for. I mean,
right.
And if you don't use it,
and I like it right from the comb. You use the beeswax from the comb.
What's she complaining about? She's complaining about the calluses on the hands.
And her part knees and parcel are, with it. You know, it was good enough for my mom. It was good enough for her.
Yeah, her knees are starting to bleed and stuff. And you just,
you know, lotion. That's what, you know, Purell is for. Or carry, whatever.
You know what? This is very awful.
What?
To talk like this.
Well, it's time someone just laid it out there the way that it is.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going way
She's
over.
At home watching Bachelorette or whatever the hell is on.
Oh, did they give him a rose yet?
What? I think they should give the ones that go home a shoe in the ass.
See you later.
Yeah, they should have to
okay.
Have like little people throw things at them as they walk up.
And next time we're going to do a Mexican fiesta cowboy horror movie. Yes. You want to? Or should we do an Indian film?
Mexican fiesta.
What
we're
going to
do something like
we
that.
Do?
We can't do the video.
What should we do, my friend? Tell me.
I don't know.
I'll do whatever you say. We can do Camels on the Road with a knife in your back. It's a B horror movie from way back in the day. It was very, very good. It was from director Peter Patel. Peter Patel. He did this in
Ali Kamal.
He did it to me. He stabbed me back five times. He stabbed me back. I run for police. And I fall down. I die. I croak. Anyways, whatever. And
yeah.
We'll catch you next time. We're going off on a tangent later on.